Mr. Tucker, the government package that has come, that is being described as a lifeline for Vodafone Idea. Do you agree? And what will Vodafone Idea do in response to that package? Will you make any concrete investments?
Niveta, this is the question which is on everybody's mind, and I think it's a very important question. So let me maybe put this in context as I answer the question. So the government package that was announced, I guess, a week ago, is, I would say, if you break it down, and I think the government also tried to look at it in that way, is, I would say, three different components that we have. One, which is what I would call reforms in the industry, which are mostly prospective in nature. So you say, you know, we think we were not doing this correctly. How can we do this correctly going forward? Or how can we improve the industry situation when we look at it going forward? So simple things like, you know, AGR definition has been a big contention in the last few years, or dozen or so years, for the government to say, you know what, we know this is a bone of contention, we're going to change it going forward. That's an example. Example is spectrum usage charge. You know, we auction spectrum. It doesn't make any sense to charge spectrum usage charges because you've already paid for it. Going forward in new auctions, we will not apply that. You know, things like the spectrum duration should be 30 years instead of 40 years. Again, giving a much longer sense of confidence to the buyers of the spectrum that the duration for which they will have the spectrum and will be available to them is much longer. Even though 20 years is quite long, we had a cycle where 20 years in this industry have run out and we're doing it again, and 30 years is a building ahead. So I think that's one set of prospective reforms that they've introduced, which are obviously important and interesting. But the second set of things, which are, I would classify them as ease of doing business. Again, these are not what I would call structural reforms, but these are things that, you know, frankly, they are annoyances. And in the given day and age of digitalization and so on, there's no reason why this should be there. And that's, you know, KYC, keeping CAF forms around, even something like FBI approval, right? 100% automatic approval. I think it makes perfect sense. I mean, it's an industry that's well matured. It doesn't make any sense to understand why it is only 49% that is automatic enough for that gap to do that. Certainly, two of the three private players are FOCC's company anyway. So anytime they want to bring in FBI, they will need a proof of why would you do that? Because you know, these companies are well known and have done FBIs many times before. So it's not, again, the first time they've done it. I think those things are simplistic. They make life easier for us to do business, and I think it's important for the government. And then the third set is what I would call, which is reducing the stress in the industry. And Niveda, to answer your question, I think these specifically apply on an immediate manner to us and certainly other players in the market. But it will have probably the largest impact and the most immediate impact in that sense. And of course, there, you know, we have been saying this to the government for many, many years. And I think in some ways we've been advocating that that certainly the government needs to take active steps. And I think this they've taken now because, you know, hopefully a moratorium on payments and delaying the payments for a few times. Then even things like saying bank guarantees are not required, you know, which is it's a huge stress to the industry, although it brings no benefit to the government. I mean, the government just sits on these bank guarantees, it's not money. But I think taking that away is a very, very important step, for example. And then in the end, ability to say that, you know, we have confidence in the industry, we have confidence in the players, and if we need to convert and we need to take some of the money from you in the form of equity, we are happy to do that. We feel confident enough about the companies in the industry that we will do that in the form of equity. That, of course, is not only for the interest that applies for this moratorium period, but also in future. As you end up making these installments, which have been deferred, there's a choice to say that we want to be able to pay this through equity if you're not able to pay back, or if you choose not to pay back through the actual payments itself. I think these are exceptionally important reforms. I think what the message that comes from the government when they're doing these reforms are, first of all, I think very clearly they recognize the importance of this industry. And again, I mentioned that the Prime Minister himself and the Cabinet itself, you know, thanked the industry for saying that during this very difficult time, You know, we have been frontline warriors, and we've really, you know, stepped up and provided connectivity to the country. This is a digitalization platform. This is a sector of sectors. And I think that type of recognition, while it was always there, I think it's always good to get that confirmation again from the government that that's how they see this industry. I think the other part that they have then said is that this is a very important sector, but then competition in the sector is very important. I mean, I think there couldn't be a more clear message than to say that we want three private players in this industry, and we will ensure through this package that those three private players stay. We don't want a duopoly, we don't want a monopoly, we want competition. And of course, you know, they also mentioned that they would like to see more competition in the sector rather than less. So I think that is a very, very important statement for the industry, and certainly is an important statement for us, because many times our you know, future has been questioned, and I think that part the government addressed as clearly and as significantly as I can imagine that they could have done. And then, of course, the forward-looking are a way to say that we will continue to reform the industry. So overall, I think my view, Navedita, is that this is a very, very big reform. I mean, in terms of reform, as big as they come. It's as big, let's say, confidence boosting and support that could have been provided. They have done that, and I think it has been an exceptional effort, and certainly we're thankful for the government for doing that part. Now, specifically to your question about what does it mean for us, because I think these things are what they've been done, what they mean for us. So I think the first thing that I want to be saying very, very clearly is that, you know, while we've always said that we will be a third player in the industry, we are going to survive, we are going to be always there, I think many times, certainly in the media as well as in the external environment, that has been taken with a skeptic view to say, well, how would that happen? How do you say that you can survive? I think if there's any question that existed about that, I think in anybody's mind, that should be gone now. There should be no reason to believe that this company, Vodafone Idea, will somehow go away and we no longer be a player in the market, and somehow this will be a market with less than three private players. I think that part of the government has ensured, and that obviously the confidence that that brings is very, very important, and I think it's absolutely critical from our perspective. As I said, even though we believed it, I think it's important that, you know, hopefully that gets recognized very clearly, not only by you know, our customers, by media, by external environment, by our employees, very, very good. I think that's the first and very important thing that what this means, you know, means for us. I think the other thing that is very clear is that now with these four-year moratorium, I think one thing we can look forward to see, what's the message? What is the underlying impact? The underlying impact here to say is, we know you had large dues to the government, and that was not just us, but all the players in the industry have large dues to the government that are coming up. Instead of trying to justify whether those are right or wrong and all of those things, let's put that aside for a second, which is the position that the government has taken, is to say, is you earn your revenues, and after you spend, you know, have your expenses, after that, you take the money and you invest in your business rather than saying I have to pay to the government, right? I mean, that's the message that comes out, and that's the decision that the government has taken. So for us, what that means specifically is it'll allow us to make investments and continue to focus on our network. I talked about the fact that we have, you know, 1 billion population coverage today. We would certainly like to increase that. We think there's an opportunity to increase by 150 to 200 million potentially of additional population coverage that we can do. And we would like to do that. We would like to increase the capacity further. So as more and more customers get on our 4G network, we'd like to improve and we'd like to get there. Continue to provide great experience to our customers, continue to expand the experience that we provide, digitalization, new services. So I think all of those things, essentially what it says to us is we can take our cash and we can deploy it in all of those things, as opposed to saying we have to pay the government for these dues. And I think that is very clearly for the next 4 years is the roadmap for us.
But Vodafone PLC has said there would be no fresh infusion of equity.
Yeah, no, so let me come to that. So let me build on this. This is the impact for us, what that means. Now, what does that mean? That makes us more competitive in the market. Obviously, when you say, instead of paying to the government all this money, I'm going to invest in my business, that obviously makes us more competitive, which in a way is the part that we have been, to some extent, missing a little bit, which I think we will now be in a much better situation. Then the question that you talked about, which is around fundraising, how did fundraising happen? Now, I think it'd be fair to say that some of the biggest concerns that the investors that we have been talking to, I mean, people are very keen about the Indian market. I think certainly there's an environment for investments in India. I think many investors like the telecom sector, but their biggest concern always has been, and three, four things that always come to mind in terms of investment, which is this question mark around which I talked earlier. Does the government really want these things? Would they ensure that there is enough competition in the market? Will the government support this, delays in payment, or would they put themselves front to say, I want to get paid first before any of the investors get paid, or before the money goes into improving the network quality, which again, that they have answered. And then of course, the investors also talk about, are they willing to do future structural reforms and so on. So I think in some ways, this package had addressed these things, which are the concerns that we were seeing from investors, and we've been talking to them over the last 8-10 months in detail. So Naveda, to answer your question is, with these concerns getting removed, clearly now, I think the interest for investments into A, the telecom sector, and B, certainly the work on IDI, I see that completely changing and having a very dramatic impact, which allows us to do fundraising to also support. So besides then taking whatever money that we have left over after our expenses to invest into our business, we believe this will also create a great opportunity for us to get external funding, which will come into the business. Now, external funding is in the form of funding that comes from any additional money that comes into the business. It can come from new investors, it can come from existing promoters, and it can come from a mixture of those two. Now, as the government package has come in and then the clarity on that is starting to emerge and activities, we ignite our fundraising process. Whether a particular promoter will comment or whether they will actually participate or not, I think that is something that it will be a choice that they will have to make. Obviously, whether they make that choice and what their decision is something that they have to decide, and it's a decision that they will make. It's a question more for them. For me, the question is, we will do fundraising. Given the changes in the package that have been provided by the government, I expect the fundraising process to be much more relevant and much more successful. And we expect that those funding will come in different forms. And that will again allow us to invest back into the business, make us more competitive, start into a growth cycle, which then, of course, starts the whole virtuous cycle all over again of then providing greater experience to customers and lead the company back on track. And we think that the 4-year period is a long enough time for us to do all of those things to get the company back fully into track during this period.
So the stand that the company had taken so far, that good money will not be thrown after bad money, will that change according to you?
I don't think we have ever said that good money will never be thrown into. I don't ever remember making a comment like that about the company. The company has never taken that position. If a particular, let's say investor or shareholder has taken that, that's probably their stance. I'm not aware of it, but certainly we have never taken that stance. We believe that the investment in Vodafone Idea, if there is investment, is a good investment. We believe that it has an opportunity to really continue to provide great service and what we've built on so far. And certainly with this government package, that, investment thesis has only been enhanced significantly compared to before. So I think those things will drive the future of the company, and that's what makes me optimistic.
Are you comfortable with the idea of government picking up a stake in the company and making Vodafone Idea a PSU after 4 years through conversion of debt into equity?
So, first of all, I think this whole, and I've seen some news reports about the government somehow making this into a PSU or anything like that. So first of all, I can tell you, in all my conversations with the government, and I've been engaged with them quite deeply, as you can imagine, the government has clearly said to me, and in various forms and very different ways, they have no interest in acquiring telecom companies in India. They have no interest in running telecom companies in India. They have clearly said that they already have a PSU, and they've got their hands full with it. They want these companies to remain private. They want these companies to continue to compete in the market. They want the management of the scheme to be very much focused on running these companies in a competitive manner. And frankly, you know, candidly, we always talk about, you know, BSNL is not a great example of how to run a country efficiently, and we don't want any of that to happen, right? So we want this to be not to be the case. So in fact, their message is very, very the opposite. Yeah, we want you to run the company, and we want you to be efficient, we want you to be effective, we want you to compete, and we wanted to have a vibrant two-player market, and that's been the message very clear. So I think in that sense, first of all, there are a whole thing that, you know, somehow Vodafone Idea, or for any matter, any of the companies that, you know, opt for this moratorium will certainly become a PSU. Is so if there's any sort of, you know, options for converting directly to equity payments to equity, are all really, in a way, in my mind, designed to make sure that there's additional flexibility, there's options that are there. That in case, even if there's more possibility that somehow there are challenges in the industry 4 years from now, even those options exist, there's further, let's say, liquidity to be provided to the company or the companies in a manner that is actually making sure that these remain competitive and they continue to thrive in the market. So I think the intention is that rather than competitive. Yeah. And if you ask me personally, this is not an area of worry for me at all. I know, again, from the direct messaging that I've gotten from the government and what they've said to me, is that, you know, and we are committed to running the company, you know, after the package, or tomorrow, or a week from now, or a month from now, or 2 years from now, you know, we wake up, we make plans, we run the company, we do all the things that are responsible, that we are responsible for, making sure that the customers get a great experience, employees come lovely and love coming to work and are associated with the brand. The shareholders are you know, happy with what they see and what we deliver for them. And then, of course, you know, in terms of getting new investors and all the work that we need to do in that area, we will continue to do that. I think we have no change in plans in any of that regard. And I think this talk about converting into a PSU or somehow having government having a role in running the company is completely incorrect, and it's completely blown out of proportion.
What about tariff increase? When are you likely to take that step? Because that is critical.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you've said it very clearly. It's very, very critical. So tariffs have been, I would say, have been one of the biggest, let's say, challenges in the industry. And I think to some extent, you know, I'd be fair to say that this is kind of the reason why the industry has been in the crisis for several years now. And frankly, you know, somehow in this industry, for whatever reason, there's not enough discipline, and we've seen it time and again, that somehow pricing is always used as a tool in our industry to, you know, kill competition, gain market share, to kind of create a scenario of stress. And as I said, this is a cycle that has played out in the telecom industry, you know, several times. And somehow it is a favorite tool to try to create unnecessary stress in the market. And I think, you know, so eventually if you want to fix the industry, pricing has to improve, and that's been our public stance for a very long period of time. I think somehow in this environment with only three players left, it got to a point where it became a bit of a standoff, which is, you know, not really sure what the government is going to do, where the support is going to come from, and so on. And I think we kind of got into a place where all players, I think, wanted to raise prices. In fact, all of them had written to the regulator to say, you know, please enforce more pricing because there's not enough discipline. But somehow they got caught into an action where, you know, who's going to take the first step became a bit of a challenge. And I think clearly the worry is if somebody takes a step, somebody else doesn't, and so on. And I think it creates even a more difficult scenario in the market. I believe now with this, not only ensuring that there will be a three-player market that we confirm that the cost will be done, also making sure that there's enough relief inside for the next, you know, duration of 4 years, and the further options, creates an environment as well as the choice of, you know, let's say, reforms that the government has also shown. I think it creates the right environment now for price increase to start to take place. I think the price increasing, in my estimate, will come soon. And I think it will come gradually in the sense that they'll take in steps that they will happen, because I think we want also the consumers to come along on this journey. So there's no, let's say, huge shock that takes place. I think those will take place. And I'm confident that those will happen now, because the environment has suddenly completely changed in the last week or so, and I think they have become much more conducive to pricing. So the short answer to your question is, I expect pricing to certainly harden and improve in the market. We believe that the environment now is right with the government package and the message that the government has given, and I expect that to take place very soon.
Will you be a first mover? Airtel has taken some steps, but not in a major way.
So we have been improving, we have been increasing pricing as well. So I don't know if you noticed, we took the first step in increasing pricing on our enterprise base, for example, and then Airtel followed us. We did some work also on our family plans, where we increased prices, Airtel followed us. Then Airtel did some pricing change on low-end PG customers. We followed them as well on some of those minimum pricing. So we have been inching up slowly, but as you said, it has not been across the board. I have always said that I am not going to shy away from doing it first. I just need to be confident that the other players will follow and I won't be left out there alone by increasing prices. And my feeling is that I think now that the environment is right, and hopefully price increases will happen. I mean, certainly something that we are looking at very, very
carefully. Anish?
Hi, Ravindra. There's one question that I wanted to ask, that apart from external fundraising, which could come from private equity or other investors, the company is also exploring sale of certain business units like your data center business, fiber optics, and so on. So does that continue, or that given the reforms, you may not look at that?
No, I think our focus at this point is really on the things that I talked about, which is we now have a completely different environment. You know, in terms of that, our focus is now take our money, invest into the business, whatever's left over that we're paying out. We think that this is the right environment for us to raise funding, and all the concerns that we heard from investors, that part will go away, and we see a positive, conducive environment for us to do that. I think sale of assets is probably is not the relevant topic at this time for us to focus on.
You know, often you have been described as a third weak player, even if it is not a duopoly market. Is that a comfortable position to be in? Aren't you looking at becoming number one or number two at least?
Naveta, I have to say that, you know, and I've had a long association, and certainly, you know, we watch very closely the market, and even IDSL, you know, was a competitor at that time, and watched it very, very closely. I think there is somehow a feeling that, you know, to be good, to be successful, you have to be a number one player in the market. Somehow you have to become bigger, and there's this obsession that I have to be the biggest, largest. I can tell you that in my, managerial experience of many, many years in this industry, that is never really actually a goal, and it has never been a goal for us. I can tell you Vodafone India was the number two player in the market for many years, when they came in. I think the company is very happy to be in a very competitive number, because IDSL was the number three player, and I think they were absolutely fabulous in that space, in the card space that they're carved out for them, and did well, and frankly gave us a lot of headaches, number one and number two player, for example, in that market. So I think this whole thing about you have to become number one, these are all slogans, and somehow they seem like they are more like chants and cheers, that they're not the most productive way to run a business. In my mind, what is a comfortable and happy to be associated with us, and are great to provide service to us, and actually like being a part of our ecosystem. And then we want to be able to provide returns to our shareholders. This is the stuff that we want to do. And that's our focus. Whether that happens to be done as number one, number two, or number three is completely irrelevant. It is not really at all something that comes to our mind, and it's not something that we at all talk about.
Vidita, maybe we'll come to the last question if you...
Okay, one question on ARPU. Right now, you're around 100 rupees or so. So what is the target that you're looking at?
So I think the so the there are two elements to the ARPU that that go along. Just again, not to give a very complicated answer, but just to be clear, one thing is ARPU is of course based on pricing. The price as the prices in the market go up, then of course ARPU is trying to go up. I think that's one element of it. The other element of it is a mix of your customer base. So of course in India, if you broadly want to describe, there are two sets. There's 4G customers, which are use 4G networks to use data, and then there's sort of 2G customers that use 2G network and are mostly predominantly voice customers. Now if I look at that mix, so if the mix is different, for example, if a 4G customer pays us 200 rupees and a 2G customer pays us 50 rupees, the mix allows us to get to a point where we have 100 rupee ARPU. Now, so from a market perspective, I just want to be clear, a 4G customer that I have pretty much pays the same amount to me as what they would pay, for example, to Airtel, because pricing in the market for 4G is the same. Our price plans are exactly the same. So if you have a 4G customer, they pay the same. So the difference in my case in the ARPU is mix of customers that I have. So I have a higher proportion of 2G compared to some of my competitors compared to 4G. So as this migration from 2G to 4G happens, we expect the ARPU mix to improve and get better. And as the migration takes place, and of course, as the pricing in the industry goes up, ARPUs go up for everybody. That's sort of the rising tide phenomena that, that happens in the industry. So we expect those two things to drive up ARPU. And I think both of those things I've said that hopefully with the changes in our investment and how we drive our network, as well as with our pricing increasing in the market, we expect those to take place. I think in India, the ARPU needs to get to first 200 rupees. I think this is a ARPU that was there 5 years ago in the industry. We are just trying to do this thing. Let's say, forget about inflation adjusted and all that stuff. Let's just get to that absolute number. I think eventually ARPU has to get to 300 rupees in India for the industry to be sustainable and long-term profitable, but at the same time, still be the lowest ARPU in the world, I think is where we will end up. And I think those are good ambitions to have, both from a regulator government perspective to remain competitive, lowest pricing, but from an industry perspective, get to 200 and then eventually to 300 to make the industry returns a little bit healthy as well.
Is India is India a less painful telecom market now? It has often been described as the most painful telecom market.
I don't know who's described the word painful, so I don't want to take credit for that term. I can certainly say it's a very challenging, there's no question, it's a challenging market. It challenges you on every turn. And in many ways, this is part of the excitement of being in India, is it challenges you every day. You wake up in the morning and there's a different challenge, there's never a monopoly, there's never boring. You know, you're solving real issues. The breadth of the country, the population, the segments, the urban-rural divide, villages, all of that stuff provides you challenges. And in some ways, you know, we're all kind of hooked to those challenges, right? I mean, we come to work, we get excited about coming to work, we do all this because we are actually addicted to solving those challenges and fighting and working against those challenges. And in some ways, that's what we like as well. And that's what we like to solve. And that's what makes our life exciting as well.